dust and breath, when death looks the same for man and beast. There is a quiet corner in Scripture that unsettles people more than they admit. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 19 to 21 sits there like a cold stone in a warm room. It says that the fate of humans and the fate of animals is the same. Both die. Both return to dust. Both share the same breath. And then the teacher asks the question that hangs in the air like incense that will not clear. Who really knows if the spirit of man rises upward and the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? Many hear those words and flinch. They think the passage erases the difference between us and the creatures that walk on four legs or swim in the deep. They hear a denial of the image of God, a flattening of human dignity into mere biology. But that reading misses the heart of what is happening here. This is not a cold philosophical claim. It is the voice of a man who has looked hard at life under the sun and felt the weight of it settle on his chest. The teacher of Ecclesiastes is not writing a systematic theology. He is walking through the marketplace, the palace, the field, and the graveyard, and he is telling us what he sees when the light of eternity is temporarily set aside. Under the sun, death is the great leveler. The king and the ox, the wise man and the dog, the singer and the sparrow, all stop breathing. The body cools. The eyes close. The same dust that formed Adam receive them all again. That is not a denial of human uniqueness. It is an honest naming of the shared vulnerability that every living thing carries. Christian Gothic sensibility understands this tension. We live in the shadow of the cross and the empty tomb, yet we still walk through rooms where the candles burn low and the stone floors hold the chill of centuries. We know that Christ has conquered death, yet we still stand at open graves and feel the old ache. Ecclesiastes gives language to that ache without rushing to the final answer. It lets the question breathe. Look at the passage again. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? The teacher is not saying that human beings are only animals. He is saying that, from the limited vantage point of life under the sun, the end looks identical. The same breath, the same dust, the same silence after the last heartbeat. The question about the spirit is left open on purpose. It is the sound of a man who refuses to pretend he has already seen the other side of the veil. That openness is not unbelief. It is the humility of someone who knows that some things remain hidden until God chooses to reveal them. We misunderstand this text when we treat it as a final word on anthropology. The rest of Scripture is clear. Humanity alone is made in the image of God. We alone receive the breath that carries moral responsibility, the capacity for covenant, the ability to name the animals and then to speak with the one who made them. We alone are addressed by the voice that says, "Where are you?" after the fall. The animals do not hide from God in the same way. They do not build altars or write psalms or wait for a redeemer. The uniqueness is never in question in the larger story. Yet Ecclesiastes refuses to let us use that uniqueness as a shield against the reality of death. The passage is existential reflection, not systematic denial. It is the sound of a heart that has watched friends and livestock die under the same sky and felt the same cold wind. It is the recognition that the body, for all its dignity, is still dust. That recognition does not diminish the soul. It makes the promise of resurrection more necessary, more precious, more urgent. In the Christian Gothic imagination, this honesty becomes a kind of dark beauty. We do not decorate death with false cheer. We light candles in the dark and keep watch. We sing of the grave and of the one who walked out of it. We look at the shared fate of man and beast, and then we look higher to the God who formed both from the dust and who alone holds the spirit in his hand. The teacher's question, "Who knows?" finds its answer not in speculation but in the revelation that comes later. Christ knows. Christ has gone before us through the valley. Christ has returned with the keys. The passage also protects us from a different error. Sometimes believers speak as if the body is an inconvenient shell and death is simply a release into pure spirit. Ecclesiastes will not allow that. The body matters. The breath matters. The shared return to dust is not trivial. When we stand at a graveside, the dust is real. The silence is real. The same physical process that claims the animal claims us. That shared process is part of the fallen order, and it is part of what Christ came to reverse. The resurrection is not the escape of a pure soul from a disposable body. It is the raising of the whole person, body and spirit, into new creation. So if the text invites us into a particular kind of reflection, we are invited to feel the weight of mortality without collapsing into despair and without pretending the weight is not there. We are invited to see that the animals share our breath and our dust, and yet we alone are called into relationship with the God who breathes life into us. The uniqueness is not erased by the shared ending. The shared ending simply reminds us that uniqueness does not grant exemption from the common lot of living things. There is a quiet pastoral kindness in this honesty. Many people carry a private fear that death will simply be the end of everything, that the spirit will dissolve like mist. Ecclesiastes does not mock that fear. It voices it. And by voicing it, the teacher clears space for the fuller word that Scripture eventually speaks. The fear is named so that the hope can be heard more clearly when it comes. Under the sun, the fate looks the same. Beyond the sun, the story is different. The Christian who reads Ecclesiastes with the rest of the canon in view can hold both truths at once. We share the dust. We do not share the final destiny. The animals return to the earth, and their story, as far as we are told, ends there. We return to the earth and wait for the voice that once called Lazarus, the voice that will one day call every name that belongs to Christ. That is the Christian Gothic posture. We do not deny the shadow. We walk through it with a knowledge that the shadow is not the last word. We look at the open question in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 21, and we answer it with the open tomb. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward? The one who rose does. And he has promised that those who belong to him will rise as well. The passage, then, is not a denial of human uniqueness. It is a clear-eyed look at the common end that forces us to ask where true advantage lies. The advantage is not in the length of our days under the sun. It is in the relationship with a God who stands outside the cycle of dust and breath. The teacher's honesty prepares the heart for that relationship. It clears away the false comforts so that the true comfort can take root. We live between the dust and the resurrection. We share the fate of the beasts in this present age, and we wait for the age when that fate is undone. Until then, we keep the candles lit. We keep the watch. We keep the question open in the presence of the one who already holds the answer.